maybe for the benefit of all these young people, or maybe for somebody who's here that I don't even know is here this morning. And I want to bring a message that I've only preached, I think, one other time in all these years of preaching at a youth rally back in 1989. Where I'm going to deal with one of the most critical issues of our day and our time, and something that the devil is using to destroy thousands of lives, young and old alike. One of the biggest problems in the United States. Big thing on the political issue. Big thing on economic issue. Crime spurned from the thing I'm going to talk about morning. And I'm going to talk about this morning. I'm not going to ask you to turn any certain scripture as of right now. Maybe later. But just briefly this morning on the subject of drugs. And the title of the message is, Users Are Losers. Now I realize we're living in a day that by the time a young person is in the third or fourth grade, they've already been approached by someone getting them to take a pill or smoke something or drink something that is not supposed to be in their body. And what really began big in the 60s with the Beatles and the hippie revolution and generation of the mid-60s and late 70s has now become a national crisis, economically, socially, and morally. Many a young man makes a business now of stealing because he can't make enough money on a regular job to support a drug habit. Many a young child is laying right now crying in some old apartment building, abandoned by mom. Don't know where their mama is or when she's going to be back home because of what drugs done to their mama. Many, you think of the young people that are involved in see killings, little boys and girls, 7 and 8 and 9 years old, who see their mom and dad shot or stabbed or a knock on the door at 12 or 1 o'clock at night and hear dad exchange some words and all of a sudden hear gunshot and cover their heads up because of drug deals illegally. Many a little girl come to the big city to find excitement. Somebody took her to a party and said, you ought to try this just one time. Can't get hooked just one time, they told her. Yet she wound up sticking a needle in her arm. Now is into a lot of prostitution. That's what a lot of young men don't understand when they go see prostitutes on the street. Those girls are not out there because they enjoy that or want to be. They found that's the only way they can make enough money to support a drug habit. Many a parent will not be able to give proper care to their children. Many a baby has no choice but is born addicted to some kind of drug. This has become a curse on our world this morning. I want to give you three things this morning. Talk to you about users are losers. First thing I want to talk about this morning are the facts on the losers. They say that the recreational drug now is marijuana. Young people are being told nowadays that you cannot be hooked on marijuana, so it's okay and it's safe and it's okay to get high once in a while, have a good time with it. Marijuana was found in the blood of the driver of the engine who collided with that Amtrak train, killing 16 people. Marijuana now that kids use is several times stronger than what they used back in the 40s and 50s and much more potent and strong. I'm going to give you the facts on marijuana this morning that you will not hear mentioned many places when they're out there in the streets and about it. When they're out at Pizza Hut parking lot or Hardee's or McDonald's or somewhere, the kids are hanging out. Here's what they will never tell you young people. They will never tell you, fact, marijuana causes memory damage. Most of you ain't got the best memory in the world to start with. You sure don't mean it worse than it is. Amen? It's a fact. Marijuana damages your memory. Not only that, marijuana causes lung damage and bronchitis. Number three, marijuana decreases your ability to father a child. Whether or not you believe it now or not, someday you boys are going to grow up. You're going to want to have children of your own. You mess around with marijuana, you decrease your chances to father a child. And number four, increases your child's chances of having birth defects. Number five, marijuana causes lethargy and burnout. It will make a skid row bum out of you. And will make you think you're doing 20 miles an hour when you're actually doing 60 miles an hour down the highway. But the worst thing about marijuana this morning is that marijuana always, hear me, marijuana always, if a young person messes with it long enough, marijuana always will open the door to a harder drug to get the same high off of. Every drug addict you know that started out smoking pot, it has the same effect of a young man. When a young man goes out and he sits with his sweetie on a date, and he holds his hand, boy, he feels that electricity go up his arm. She feels that electricity go up her arm. You think, man, I enjoy that. That holding hand does pretty good for a while. But after that, after holding hands kind of gets, you know, well, you want to put your arm around them then, see? And holding hands opens the door. After you put your arm around, then you want to squeeze them. And then, you know, it goes on and on and on. That same thing, marijuana is like holding hands. That first thing you know, you think, man, I like that feeling. You want something else to get that same high. So the fact is this morning that marijuana is dangerous. Marijuana should be illegal. Marijuana should be not legalized on our streets. We have enough problems as it is, and we need to keep the lid on it as much as possible. Let's talk about cocaine just a second. 5,000 new cocaine triers every day in this country. 5,000 people try cocaine for the very first time. People think nothing about a $1,000 a week cocaine habit, but you'll notice they all say the same thing. Every movie star, every rock singer, every athlete who's been down that road, if they make it out, they always come out saying the same thing. Young people, stay away from drugs. Young people, stay away from drugs. Young people, say no to drugs. I'm not silly this morning. Over 700 people here this morning, counting the ones that are up in the other building, and there's no doubt in my mind, there's some young person right here today. You're feeling the pull, you're feeling the temptation, and my message to you is this morning, the fact is, you cannot handle it. It'll handle you. Down in Charlotte, North Carolina, we see a well-prospering family. The father is an executive. The mother is a school teacher. They live in a two-story house with three automobiles. They have a Labrador retriever that goes out and meets guests when company comes to the house. But their daughter wound up on Skid Row in a motel bed, in a cheap motel, with other addicts packing ice all over her body, trying to calm her down as she was going into fits, desiring more drugs. How did that happen? She began to date a boy. That boy was not the right kind of boy. Sooner or later, she got a needle and tried it a couple of times, and they became her companion. It's hard to believe those young, beautiful hands went from a college classroom to a $2,000 a week cocaine habit. Escort service was her next step in order to support her drug habit. Then it was seizures, convulsions, She bit a chunk out of a man's arm, burnt another girl's eye, all trying to get money to put more drugs in her arm to get hooked because she was hooked on that feeling. Nothing satisfies the devil anymore than to see a young person completely give themselves over to a drug that will enslave them and ensnare them, and they'll do anything in order to get money to support it. It's hard for them to ever get out without a miracle from God Almighty. But I want to talk briefly this morning about the worst drug. Now, if I'm going to preach a message about drugs, get me on this in just a hair, Bill. If I'm going to preach a message about drugs this morning, I would have to include the worst drug. The worst drug in America is not cocaine or LSD or marijuana. The worst drug in America is alcohol. That is a proven fact. It is subtle. It is smooth. It gets you easy, one at a time, a little bit at a time. And alcohol is the most dangerous, wicked drug of all drugs. You know why I say that? Because on TV, when they say no to drugs, they ain't even referring to alcohol. I am. When I say no to drugs, I'm talking cocaine, LSD, pot, gasoline, airplane glue, and beer and wine. Amen? No alcoholic would ever be an alcoholic had not they first took their first sip of beer and wine. By the way, I'm going to go ahead and say this morning. There's probably somebody here. I'm not naive enough to think everybody here is perfect. There's probably somebody here that's going to get real offended at this. But my job is to preach the truth to you. It's mighty hard for a parent to tell their kid, don't you smoke pot and don't you do drugs, if they've got wine and beer in their refrigerator. You say, well now, preacher, you're old-fashioned, and don't you know that nowadays people use it in moderation? I've seen a lot of them that used it in moderation. Watch them a few years. Amen? You'll see them going in and out of Aunt Bessie's cow up the street here. ABC store. I reckon that's what that stands for. Let me tell you what, brother. Listen, that's the worst of all drugs. 92% of high school seniors have tried alcohol, and 92% of high school seniors ain't tried cocaine. Listen, we would think of letting a football player come on a commercial every 10 minutes and pull out a joint and say, like, wow, man. Like, what's happening, man? You want to drag, man? Oh, go down to your local pusher and get... No way would we allow that. But boy, every 10 minutes during a football team. And I'm telling you, those beer commercials, they make them the best looking, most exciting. They spare no expenses. They'll put that beer, they'll make it look real hot and show the sun shining on the desert. And then a great big cool can of Bud Dummer comes out, or Miller Low Life, and it says, hey kids, this is what you need. I'm telling you this morning, kids, that is not what you need. You're a loser if you go down that route. Alcohol will make them the spittering, sputtering, slobbering, staggering, drunk. And I didn't say alcoholic, I said drunk. I know you say, well now, preacher, you're just one of those overboard fanatical. You need to travel around with me a little bit and see what I see. You need to get out on the street. You need to go out on our bus routes and visit one Saturday. Amen? You sympathizers with the liquor industry or beer or wine. You say, now you're not going to tell me because I can handle my... Well, you may think you're very, very smart here this morning. But what you are doing is endorsing a product that is destroying our nation. We had 50 kids. We had 100 kids lined up here across this church this morning that's got killed in car accidents in the last few weeks in America. If we had 100 of them, and you took alcohol off of the streets of America, over 50 of them would still be alive. You don't know why your car insurance is so high? Because of alcohol. Amen? I think you ought to leave you alone if you ain't drunk. You ought to be able to go as fast as you want to. I mean, as long as you're being behaved. And if they'd get all the drunks off the highway, accidents would be cut in half. That's a proven fact. They're involved every time. Every time where there's a terrible accident, alcohol's in it somewhere. You can mark it down. I tell you what, some of you didn't like what I said, but our insurance would be cut in half if they'd do that. Somebody's drinking, trap goes their license, just like that. Hey, there's no use in being out here able to kill everybody on the highway when it's a fact that they cause more wrecks than anything else. Amen? 40% of all young people's deaths age 15 to 20 are in automobiles, and 50% of them involve alcohol. The Bible says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. That's a nice way of saying, if you mess around with wine, you really don't have good dents. Had a man uptown here tell me, he said, now, well, Jesus and the disciples drank wine. God didn't know what he's talking about. There's two types of wine in the Bible. There's new wine and old wine. New wine in the Bible is not fermented. It's grape juice. And the book of Isaiah said it's found in the cluster. You know what that means? You squeeze it right out of grapes. That's called wine in the Bible. The fresh blood of the grape. You can drink all that you want to drink. Into hooch, then you ain't got good sense if you mess with it. You ain't thinking, buddy. You're just not very smart. Well, I resent that. I didn't write it. God said it. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. You know what I had a lady tell me less than 1 mile from right here? Less than 1 mile from where I'm standing. Across the railroad tracks over yonder. I was out visiting one day. Her son, living with her, probably in his mid-40s, laying in there on the couch, drunk. She said, my boy's in bad shape. She said, if I had a bomb, I'd go across there and blow that ABC store up. She said, before they put beer and wine in this town, we've only had it in this town about 10 years, it was our county before then. She said, before they put it in this town, my son got drunk on weekends only. She said, now he drinks every single day. We had politicians and people trying to tell us that if you go ahead and put it in, people's going to drink less. You hear that? They'll say, now the reason people want to drink is because it's illegal, and if we go ahead and bring it in, people, if they know it's there, they won't drink as much. That's about one of the dumbest statements I've ever heard in my whole life. You know, when I was growing up, me and my two sisters, back when we was little, when they'd go to the grocery store, they'd get a carton of Pepsis. And they'd bring in a carton. You remember back in the old days, when you got Pepsi, you just got a Pepsi. It wasn't the one size of Pepsi. You didn't get screw on top cans and 2 liter and 3 liter. And when you got a carton of Pepsis, you just got a carton of Pepsis. There's six of them in a pack. And they brought them in, and Mom says, you get a half of one. I'd have split one with my sister. Man, we'd drink that Pepsi. I remember, I get a little bit more. No! We'd fight over them things. Half a Pepsi. Now you mean to tell me that you're actually dumb enough to think that if my mom would have brought 18 packs of Pepsis in there and put them down and says, now you can have it anytime you want. You mean to tell me you believe we would have drunk less Pepsi? Have you been to your shrink lately? You ain't thinking, boy. I'm telling you this morning, the more they are, the more people's going to do it. That's right. That's a proven fact. Now, that huge Exxon oil spill that devastated the Alaskan coast. You know what they don't like to tell you? Alcohol was involved. That road up through there was 10 miles wide. My little girl could have drove a tractor and trailer up through there and not hit nothing. But brother, his license had been suspended for drunk driving. The fellow who was driving, he got there touching a beer or wine. It's just like, hey, what would your kids do if you went out on a date? And all of a sudden, you're date pulled out a rattlesnake underneath from out in the sea. And its head pointed right at you and said, you want one? Son, would you ever get out of that car? Boom, boy, that door would be open. You'd be gone just like that, wouldn't you? No way, boy. You pull a snake out on me. You say, well, I'm not going to let them think I'm a sissy. That had nothing to do with being a sissy. That's got something to do with having brains in your head. Amen? You say, I'm just as brave as anybody. Listen, when a man tries to do something like that, he's not showing his courage, he's showing his ignorance. I'm telling you, listen, we was in here talking last night. We come up for prayer meeting last night and we got talking about snakes. I don't know how, they was talking about somebody had a pet snake. This girl had it wrapped around her neck. You know, that's a big thing nowadays, but I mean, you can do whatever you want to, but I don't think it's intended for a snake to be a pet. You know, if you got one, that's your business, but Lord have mercy, much as I hate cats, I'd rather have a cat. Pet snake. That just don't sound right. Nothing personal. But they was talking about snakes. And you know what I found out? I found out that our associate pastor, Brother Bruce Ward, was a snake handler. And his wife also is a snake handler. He said they come in. What was it? Where are you at, brother? Oh, he's in the basement. And his daughter had a little rubber snake playing with it. So his wife, Cheryl, comes in and just goes over and kicks that rubber snake. But it wasn't a rubber snake. It was real. And it jumped back like that and went, psst. And so she handled it with her foot there. And he said she screamed bloody murder. And he said, Brother Pate was down there working or something. Anyway, the snake started running behind the wood pile and they chased it, tried to hit it. And he said he'd get back in there and they couldn't get back in there. And then they'd move a stack of wood and they'd go under another stack of wood, you know. They'd move a stack of wood and they chased it all over the house. So the big strong man of the house gets his rifle. And in the house now, I mean, in the basement. And he's going around, going to shoot this snake. He said he's going, pow, 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 shooting in his basement. Wondering how he shot his wife and killed her. Can't you see? Can't you see Brother Paige Gibbs and Cheryl running around, Bruce shooting? You know what I'm saying? Man, I wouldn't want to be in that place like that. That'd be dangerous. But he said he finally shot it and wounded it, and I think Paige handled it then. He reached in there and grabbed it and pulled it out. And slung it around, popped it like that, you know, and throwed it up my tree outside. And they got rid of it. What would you have thought if he had looked at Paige and Paige looked at him and said, "Oh, come on, let it bite you. It won't hurt you. You ain't going to get hooked or nothing. Just one time." Did you know sometimes? Did you know all it took for Lenny Bias was one time? Do you know Lenny Bias, I think, was drafted by the Boston Celtics, would have been one of the most greatest athletes we had seen playing basketball in many years. And they said that he tried cocaine one time, got a hold of some bad stuff. Now, I want to tell you something. The devil's real out there. When somebody gives you something or sells you something, you don't know what you're getting. You don't know what you're getting. You're a loser. You're a loser. That's a fact. Right, quickly this morning, let me say, secondly, the failure of the users. Physically, that young Olympic diver, Bruce Kimball, he was an Olympics and he was a swimmer in the Olympics, but he went down the road at 75 miles an hour, down a narrow road, slid 397 feet, hit into a group of teenagers, killed two of them, injured others, swiped several cars, hurled victims 60 feet, as he hit him drunk. Left a trail of blood. And Bruce Kimball's serving 17 years in prison right now. Last I heard. Make a failure out of you. One boy said this. After my first hit of cocaine, I felt like a new man. The only problem was, the first thing that new man wanted was another hit. Mentally, it'll put you in hell. I went to hell and cocaine put me there, one lady said. Said you'd rather have your arms cut off or be blind or lose your mind or anything than go through what I went through. She said I put every cent I had at my nose. It took $100,000 for me to learn what that drug will do to a person. Ask Betty Ford. Ask Liz Taylor. Johnny Cash. John Belushi. Janis Joplin. You know what they're doing now? They're making young kids these look-alike drugs that are not really drugs to prepare the kids as soon as they get old enough so they'll try. But you don't think the devil's out there? He's making things nowadays, even cubes of sugar packaged like cocaine, so they can act like they're older people that they want to imitate, and that what they're going to do as soon as they get old enough. Have you noticed these new drinks they're making nowadays, and they shake the bottles like beer or wine and everything, but they're non-alcoholic stuff? You know what that's for? That's to get kids wanting to accept that and make kids think, oh boy, it looks like I'm drinking wine now. As soon as I get enough, I'll get me a real one. Near beer. Things like that. Amen? That's a failure of the users. Right quickly this morning, let me hurry along and say number three, and lastly, the future of the loser. It's a dead end, going nowhere. The dead list, I could stand here this morning and read them off to you, one right after another, those that have been killed, overdosed. My, what a list. We've got people in here this morning that could stand on this microphone and say, kids, I've tried it all. I've done it all. It's no good. It just grabs you. You think you can control it, but first thing you know, it's got you and you can't get loose. And you try to act like you can get loose, but you can't loose. Oh, if I hadn't come to the Lord Jesus Christ, I would be dead right now. But thank God this morning, there is deliverance. There is a power greater than the power of drugs and alcohol. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He can set you free today if you'll allow Him to. Think about Elvis Presley. You know what killed Elvis? Drugs killed Elvis. Judy Garland was on Wizard of Oz. John Bonham of Led Zeppelin. Bon Scott, AC/DC, Jimi Hendrix, Freddie Mercury, they died with the diseases. All that stuff comes from beginning with alcohol and drugs. It goes like this. You break the law, you pay the price. If you go against what God said, I picked up a man one time, I believe I mentioned it tonight at the camp. Picked up a guy one time and he's hitchhiking. I began to talk to him. And I could tell he was with it, you know. And he said, what's happening, man? Like, wow, man. And we got to talk. I said, no, it's drugs and stuff like that. Somehow we got on it. He said, no, man, drugs are cool because God, everything God made is good. And he started quoting out of Genesis 9 about the herbs. You've heard that old line, ain't you? All the old herbs are good. God made them. I've had them throw that on me. If God didn't want us to smoke pot, why did He let it grow? Well, just listen for a second and you learn something. Everything that God made was good. He said that in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. In Genesis 9, He gives the list of herbs there. But something happened between Genesis 2 and Genesis 9. Genesis 3. You know what happened in Genesis 3? Man sinned. You know what happened when man sinned? God put a curse on the earth, and from then on, everything ain't good. It ain't good. If it's good, kiss a rattlesnake. If everything's good, go out and water and poison ivy. If everything's good, drink some poison. Everything's not good. That's why you got a brain. You're supposed to be able to tell the difference between what'll kill you and what's good for you. I read about Art Linkletter's daughter who jumped to her death. Ringo Starr, who's so hooked on wine he has to have 16 bottles of it a day just to make it. He's a poor, pitiful drunk. Well, I saw him on TV and he looked good. Yeah, they can make it on stage down there. He's a poor, wretched, miserable drunk. That's what it'll do to you. Got enough money to buy this building 50 times, but can't get loose. You know what he is? A loser, brother. He's a loser. He's a loser. I heard about these young people who may be like you are this morning. Well, preacher, I'm too smart for that. I never do drugs. I never do alcohol. I never do nothing like that. Preacher, I've got my act together. I'm not. Yeah, but listen. All you got to do is just be with the crowd that's doing it. You getting arrested.
you get in trouble. You lose your right to vote. You don't get to be a doctor. You don't get to be a lawyer. All that kind of stuff if you get a record.
You hearing me this morning? I heard about a young 16-year-old girl on her birthday. Her daddy bought her a brand new Trans Am on her 16th birthday. Brand spanking new. On Friday, that was her 16th birthday. She could not wait till Monday to drive it to school. All the kids heard about it. They couldn't wait till Monday to see the new car. Now, the school rules were they let the kids drive to school, but they had a separate parking lot across the street, and all the students had to park in that parking lot and walk across the street into the school. And the school rule was, once you parked your car and got out of it and come across that street to the school, you were not allowed for any reason to go back across that street and get in your car during the school hours. That was school policy. Well, that morning she drove that brand new Trans Am to school. She came in that day, locked that thing up, walked across the street. Immediately all her friends come, "Did you get to, where's your car? She said, "See it right over there." They said, "Oh, let's go see it." Somebody said, "We're not supposed to go back across." "Oh, it don't matter. Come on, let's go over there and see it." So four or five of them, I think it was five of them, ran across the street. Boy, they started looking at that thing. Man. Boy, they was, "Oh, that's a pretty color. Good night. Look at that interior. Check out that stereo. Look at that. Wow. Look at them speakers. Look at them wheels. Look at that." And boy, they were just loving that thing, you know. And first thing you know, one of them says, "Let's sit in it." So she took the keys, opened the door. Boy, they got in it, you know, and sit, you know, and fool with the seat, you know, and looked around, you know, how people do the branking around there and having a big time, you know. And what's the next thing they want to do? "Let's go for a ride." She says, "Well, we're not supposed to." "Oh, come on, let's just go down the street and back. I want to ride in." She said, "Well, hop in." They all five of them hops in there. She starts that new brand new Trans Am up and heads down the road. "Let's take a short ride." They were oohing and aahing. Went to a red light, turned right. Went through two more red lights, turned left. Several blocks down the street. And as they were riding along, the next thing young people, they always say, the next, what's that? Let's see how what it'll do. That teenage girl took her foot, pushed that thing to the floor like that, and that thing kicked in there, boy, and that thing shot out down that street, and they could feel that power, and they were screaming and laughing and clapping. Upper part of Florida. She hit a guardrail. The rail head on at that high rate of speed, that thing flipped over and landed right smack in the middle of Interstate 10. Semi, tractor, and trailer come down the road at 65 miles an hour and ran right over top of them. All five of them went into eternity just like that. They wasn't drunk. They wasn't on drugs. They said it took one girl's head completely off. There was body parts scattered. Just like that. Gone. You know why? They was just with somebody they wasn't supposed to be with, doing something they wasn't supposed to be doing. You say, "I've never touched some drugs." Yeah, but you, that crowd that you run with will get you into the wrong thing. You may be here this morning as I begin to close and they get us a song. You may be here this morning, you've got a serious problem with alcohol, drugs, I don't know. I know one thing, last night this message wouldn't go off my heart. This morning, I thought, "Lord, I don't know if I want to preach on that or not." But I felt like God was saying, there's somebody going to be there that needs it. Maybe there's some young person, you've kept it hid and you've been sneaking around and doing what you're not supposed to do. You don't have to wait until you get out to camp this week. The Lord may come before we get to camp. The Lord may come. This may be your chance. I'll tell you one thing. If the devil hands it to you, you don't want it. Because he ain't your friend. It's time for some of you this morning to sell out to God and say no. All these say no programs, I reckon they do a little bit of good. I think they're okay.
But when the atmosphere's right and the music's playing and the band's out there and the people are that, it's going to take more than just a say no sticker on your notebook for you to resist. It's going to take something down in here, in your heart, where God is. I don't know why the Lord had me preach a message this morning, but I trust Him. I'm trusting Him to let it work in somebody's heart. Would you stand with me and bow you just a moment? Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're not going to tarry long. I just want to ask you a question.